John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ the righteous. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one. We're so thankful for your attendance. We're so thankful that you're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. You're visiting with us. We're very glad that you've come our way. We are always thankful for such visitors, and we want you to know that you're welcome back at each and every opportunity. We are wrapping up the first teaching quarter. I believe we finished up on Wednesday, and then the new teaching quarter will start on Sunday. And we're so thankful for our teachers that have served this quarter. We're thankful for Sarah and Benny and Joe and Wendy and Corey and Adriana. And we're thankful for all those that subbed in as things come up in life. And we'll go into the second teacher quarter. And we're so thankful for our teachers. In many ways, it is one of the most important things that we do to teach the next generation. And also, in many ways, it's evangelistic. If we look at many of our baptisms, they are connected to our Bible classes. And we are so thankful for those that volunteer their time and teach. So thankful for them. You know, we need to think about many things in life. And one thing that we think about a lot is preventing things. And certainly I reflect on COVID just a little bit, is that really when COVID came in and there was a lot of uncertainty, there was a lot of things that were done to try to get to know the disease that was coming our way. We wanted to get to know it. We wanted to prevent it. We wanted to do certain things. And many of the things that I think we came away with were actually things from the Bible. You know, the Bible talks about quarantine. The Bible talks about separating for a period of time when we're symptomatic, of course. And, you know, we look at these things throughout the Bible. We see those. But we certainly dedicated a lot of time to preventing a physical disease. But I wonder if we think about preventing spiritual disease, spiritual sickness. You know, when I look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That sounds preventative to me. That you may not sin. You know, when you think of disease, there's before and there's kind of after. You think of trying to prevent a disease, and then you think if you get the disease, you want to be cured. And certainly, in a religious perspective, we many times talk about the cure, don't we? The cure of Jesus Christ and His blood and the forgiveness of sins, we understand the cure. But I think the Bible does talk a lot about trying to prevent the disease. Now, we know we all fall short of the glory of God. We understand that. But there is a lot of the Bible, and really when we reflect on it, there's a lot of these letters that are really giving us a strong message that we should try to prevent sin, that we should try to keep sin away. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. That you may not sin. That sounds like prevention to me, to try to stay away from sin. And we are certainly in a battle with sin. You know, our country there for a period of time, we were like trying to focus in on preventing a physical disease. And there's other things that our country has focused on over the course of time. Our country has tried to focus in on cancer and things of that nature, focusing in on physical disease. But do we focus in the way we should on spiritual disease? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." We are in a war against a spiritual disease. This spiritual disease will come after us as individuals. It will come after our families, our communities, and our nation. Are we concerned about the spiritual disease which we face? Will we take the same type of actions and the same types of initiatives to make sure that we win this battle against the spiritual disease? Certainly, the Bible encourages preparation. When we think of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, it talks about us putting on the armor of God, that we can be protected, that we can be protected. And I think of preparation as prevention. And how are we preparing, and how are we dealing with spiritual disease? Certainly, we know we have a cure. But what if we could just prevent many of the sinful situations in our lives? What if we could keep the devil at bay? What if we could keep the devil away from ourselves in a sense of resisting sin and keeping sin out of our lives, trying to prevent it? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, says, "Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world." There is a lot of spiritual disease out there, and are we taking the same preventative measures that we do against physical disease? Let's talk about that this morning. You know, when we talk about physical disease, when there's a physical disease that comes on the scene, the first thing that we typically try to do is we try to get to know it as much as we can. We want to know about it. We want to know how it spreads. We want to know all those things. And you know what? Knowledge is power. Does knowledge help to prevent disease? Yes, it does. And I'm talking about physical disease right now. Knowledge can help the prevention of physical diseases. You know that knowledge can help us prevent spiritual diseases as well. Are we as urgent in our research in relation to sin and the prevention of sin? To try to keep it out of our lives, to try to keep it far away. Because all of us struggle with sin, and we all struggle in many ways in different areas of sin and how they come after us and us personally. Are we looking at prevention? Do we know those things that we struggle with? Do we know how we can try to help to keep those sins out of our lives? Knowledge of physical disease helps, but do we have a knowledge of spiritual disease? If we have a better knowledge of spiritual disease, how it spreads, how it infects, how it tears us down, the warning point of when we are about to do such things in relation to sin, do we have an eye out for that? Because spiritual disease, sin, is very dangerous, and it will cost us our eternity. We think of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death. You know, many times that's the concern about physical disease, but not all physical disease results in physical death. But I can tell you that sin is directly connected to spiritual death. Are you concerned about it? Are you looking at how you can avoid sin in your life as you're trying to serve God? You know, Jesus, I think, shows us through a powerful example that knowledge can help us combat spiritual sin. It can help us actually prevent sin, that we don't fall into that situation where we are infected. I think of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is out there in the wilderness, and the devil is going to come to him, and he is going to tempt Jesus, and he's going to come back again and again and again. And as we reflect on Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus really had a weak point. He has been fasting. The Bible says that he is hungry. And really, I think when you look into that word, it means that Jesus is actually having hunger pains. Is that his body is searching for food. His body needs food. And this is being experienced and probably something. The devil is coming after Jesus when he's weak, not when he's strong, per se. Although the devil will take any opportunity he has, but he knows that he is at an advantage when we are weak. And he comes to Jesus, and on multiple occasions he's going to tempt Jesus. And what does Jesus respond every time? It is written, it is written, and it is written. You know what I think Jesus is showing us? That knowledge of God's Word can be preventative when it comes to sin. When we know God's Word, when it is on our hearts and our minds, we can prevent sin. When these situations come our way, we know what the answer is. We know what right and wrong is. We have studied God's Word and we know those answers. You know you're in a vulnerable state when you don't know about sin. How it attacks, how it spreads, how it can affect you, how it can affect your loved ones. When we don't have a knowledge of sin, I'm not saying that we have to experience sin to know sin. Can we know about cancer without having cancer? Yes, you can. We can know about these things. We can know how they can tear up a human body. And we can know that. We can know about sin without having to do sin. How foolish the world is many times where they say, oh, if you want to be safe with sin, you've got to experience it. That's foolish. We can prevent sin by knowing more about it. And certainly we can do that with physical disease. Do we deal with the most dangerous spiritual disease that's out there? Do we deal with sin? Do we try to understand it better so we can protect ourselves and protect our family? Jesus says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus knows what the Bible says about these things. And because he knows what the Bible says about these things, I think he prevents sin, and really he prevents sin throughout his life. God has provided us a prevention tool when it comes to sin. In fact, he has given us a textbook on it. He's given us his inspired word. His inspired word, which in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, tells us, he basically gives us all things that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work, that we can prevent sin by knowing His word. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us the textbook on sin. He has given us examples of people that have fallen to sin, people that have been infected by sin. And we can see the patterns. We can see the pattern of pride. We can see the pattern of sexual lust. We can see all these patterns. We can see how King David, a man after God's own heart, fell to sexual sin. We can see that. We can see that situation. We can study it, and then we can watch out for those things in our lives that we don't fall the same things that King David fell to. We can look and see how individuals in the Bible fell to pride, and we can see those patterns. God has given us a textbook that we can know sin better. And if we can know sin better, we can perhaps prevent it in the lives of ourselves and those that we love. God has given us preventive power, but do we use them the way that we should? Do we know our enemy? We would say we know physical diseases. Oh yeah, we know cancer, we know COVID, we know these things, we know how they spread. Do we know about sin? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Are we ignorant of Satan's devices? Are we ignorant of how Satan is trying to blind us? How he's trying to lead us away from his word? How he's trying to lead us away from those things that are good and right? Are we ignorant of those things? Do we know how the devil operates? You know that the devil is going to come after us at our weakest point. We know that the devil is going to come after us with lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. As we see in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan's trying to blind you with the world. He's trying to infect you with the world. He wants you to touch these things. He wants you to grab a hold of them, and he doesn't want you to let go. He wants you to be focused on these things, looking for these things, loving these things. Knowledge is power. Do we know what we should distance ourselves from? You know, it's interesting, when you read the Old Testament, it really gives the idea of hand washing. And they would wash their hands in the water of purification after they dealt with human fluids and dead bodies and things of this nature. And really, what they have is a perfect ingredient for soap. They were washing their hands. You know, God knew that they were dealing with things that could hurt them. And God basically says, wash your hands. I think it's scientific foreknowledge, because we had a period in human history where people were dealing in hospitals and they weren't washing their hands. Knowledge is power. Do we know what to avoid? Do we know what to do? Do we know how to respond? Do we know how to cleanse ourselves? Do we know how to avoid these things? Knowledge is power. Satan is trying to use the lust of flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, and he's trying to use these on you each and every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Now, when it's talking about the God of this age, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it's talking about the devil. You know the devil's trying to blind you? He's trying to blind you so that you can't see even that you're infected. He wants you to be in a state where you don't even know that you're sick. He wants you to be lost in lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. He'll take any of these things and everything that he has, and he is going to direct them towards you and try to block your vision so that you won't see spiritual things. So you won't be involved with the church. So you won't be involved with worship. So that you will check out and you won't see the things that truly matter. Satan's trying to blind you. He's trying to infect you with sin. He doesn't want you to see the things of this world that are spiritual, those things that are good and right. He wants to focus on things that will distract you. If we're ignorant of Satan's devices, we are vulnerable. Just as the people don't know about germs and as we don't know how things spread, we are more vulnerable. We are vulnerable to spiritual sin, spiritual disease, when we don't know about it the way that we should. Are we protecting ourselves? Do we know about sin enough that we take appropriate action? Are we putting on the armor of God that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6? Are we using the tools which God has given us because we're in a spiritual war? It's almost like our nation will declare a war on physical diseases, but have we as a church declared war on spiritual diseases? I mean, our country will go all out on physical diseases, will they not? Physical diseases will take your life, and there is a certain amount of weight that can be put on physical disease. There's no doubt about that. But the disease which we discussed this morning, the disease of sin, will affect your soul and will affect your eternity. And although there is a certain amount of weight that has to be put on physical disease and physical ailment, if you're going to put them side by side, and let's do that this morning, let's put them side by side, physical sin, spiritual sin, physical disease, spiritual disease, which one are you more concerned about? I'm not saying that physical disease doesn't have a certain weight on it, it certainly should. But what about spiritually? Do we know what we should? Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power when it comes to physical disease. If we understand the disease better, we can better protect ourselves. If we understand spiritual disease better, we can better protect ourselves. Are you protected? In Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You think about that. Wasn't that what Jesus was doing when in Matthew chapter 4? It is written, it is written, it is written. I know about this, Satan. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to draw me away from the Lord's body. You're trying to draw me away from church. You're trying to draw me away from worship. You're trying to draw me away from the brothers and sisters in Christ. You're trying to draw me away from doing spiritual things. You're trying to draw me away from doing things that are getting right. I know what you're trying to do, Satan, and I'm not going to let you do it. You know Satan's trying to get you? Trying to infect you, trying to lead you away from those things that are getting wrong. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it talks about us being diligent to present ourselves approved to God, and certainly rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it talks about the Bereans, that they were daily studying God's word. Are you protecting yourself with knowledge? Increase your Bible knowledge and you increase your armor. You increase your odds of preventing those darts of Satan. We wonder why we lose so many in the Lord's church. Perhaps it's because we don't prioritize knowledge of God's Word. That we're not equipping ourselves to prevent that which God has said is coming after us. Prioritize knowledge of the enemy. Prioritize knowledge of God's Word that will protect us and prevent us. And we can be successful against the attacks of the devil. You understand Bible knowledge is very important. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, but solitude belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Wait, we should have our senses exercised. We should have studied the Bible enough that we can tell you whether something is good or evil. And is that not what Jesus is doing in Matthew chapter 4? Say, you're not going to get me with this. It is written. I know what the Bible says about this. I know how I'm supposed to conduct myself in this situation. Do you know how to conduct yourself in all situations? You know, sometimes in this life, we are thrown curveballs. Sometimes we're thrown curveballs. We deal with a situation that perhaps we haven't dealt before. And you know what we need to ask ourselves? What does God's Word have to say about this? Because if I read God's Word by principle or by something very direct, the Bible will tell us where our conduct should be and what we should do in a situation. You know, to prevent sin, we need to know about sin. Not knowing about it in terms of having to partake in it, but knowing about it like we know about any physical disease. We know how it spreads, how it operates, how it's going to try to get us. Another way that we can prevent sin with knowledge. Number two, we can prevent sin with separation. And this is something that has to be thought about and considered. I think about Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45. You remember in the Old Testament, the Bible was okay with quarantining and separating when you're symptomatic. What did the people that were leprous do in Leviticus chapter 13? They cleansed themselves and said, unclean, unclean. Separation. You know, to prevent physical disease sometimes, there's separation. You know what? To prevent spiritual disease sometimes, there needs to be separation. Have you ever thought about that? You know, Jesus offers the cure for sin. However, how nice it would be if we could just avoid some sinful situations. If we could avoid it in the first place. If we could keep it away. You know, many years, men have thought about the cure, and they didn't think about prevention. But prevention is very powerful. You think about polio, and you think about smallpox. I think they say that it's almost cured. I'm not trying to speak out of line, but they're basically like, it's almost cured. But you think about it, smallpox and polio, that was really prevention, was it not? Through vaccine and through innovations of that nature, is that was prevention. If humans started to say, you know what? What if we could just prevent this disease in the first place? Now, we understand with sin, it is a very unique sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the idea of being a Christian is that we are trying to walk away from sin, is that we're trying to keep sin out of our lives to the best of our ability. But are we trying to prevent the way we should as the Lord's church? There's preventing disease, and then there's curing disease. Jesus has got the cure taken care of. Prevention is us being aware and trying to do the best we can to keep this away from ourselves. I heard it said that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. Can we prevent sin? Certainly we understand that we'll fall short from time to time, but we understand the power of prevention. Trying to prevent that which is so dangerous. But when it comes to spiritual things, when you think of a church, you think about a body. Think about the church, think about a body. The church is made up of many members. Alright? Can the church get a disease? Can the church get sick? Yes, it can. The church can get diseased and sick. Just as the human body can get diseased and sick. Think of somebody that has cancer. You know, when somebody has cancer, some of the cure that we try to do sometimes actually harms the human body. But we're trying to get that cancer. Why are we trying to get that cancer? Because we know the whole body will go if we don't deal with the cancer. There's a disease called gangrene. And basically when you're infected with it, it'll just start spreading throughout the body. You know what? One of the common cures of gangrene is actually amputation. Is that somebody gets infected and it starts spreading, it starts eating away at the tissue, and literally it's just, you know, basically being eaten right in front. And they say, well, we want to cure it. We want to help it. We want to prevent the spread. And sometimes they actually have to amputate. You know what? Spiritually, sometimes that happens. And sometimes the Lord's body, the church, gets infected. It gets infected by sin. Well, how would that happen? If we have a member that is involved in some type of public sin, and we know that this public sin could affect the church in many ways. And in fact, if this sin is not dealt with, what will happen is it will spread to the whole body. Now, question, if somebody has gangrene and their hand is totally destroyed, and they see it spread throughout their body, and they have to amputate, do you think that they're happy that they have to cut off their arm? No, that's a painful process. It's a process you wouldn't want. Wouldn't you just rather keep your hand? But what's the consequences if you don't separate? The consequences if you don't separate, you lose your whole life. You know, sometimes the church falls into such a situation. I think we see that in actually the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a situation. You've got the body, you've got the church, and we have an individual here that is going, that's involved in sin. And if this sin isn't dealt with, what will happen is it will spread throughout the body, it will spread throughout the church, and the church will essentially die. And God knows it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, as we look there, we see that there's something that is going on at the church at Corinth. In chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality that is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. You think about that. Something's going on with the Lord's body. The Lord's body has a member. Perhaps you think of it as the hand has sin. And you go down to verses 6 and 7, and it gives us this idea. It says, your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We have this idea of leaven. You know, it just takes a little bit to infect, doesn't it? If there's a lot of physical diseases, that disease, if left untreated, that infection, if left untreated, will actually affect the whole body. And that can actually happen spiritually as well. And you see it happening here at Corinth, is that there is somebody doing some things that they should not be involved in, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, and this is hurting the body. It's hurting the body in multiple different ways. And with the body, does the body necessarily want to separate? No. Just like if you had gangrene and you had to slice off your hand, you are not joyful about that situation. I don't want to slice off my hand. It's going to be painful, but why is it being done? To really save the rest of the body. And spiritually, sometimes it's done and it's called withdrawing. And sometimes the body of Christ does have to do this to save the body. Because if certain sins, public sins in particular, are not addressed, then what happens is other people in the congregation start thinking it's okay. Which in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's like, oh, I guess sexual sin's okay. And then it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is okay. And then before you know it, the Lord's church doesn't even look like the Lord's church anymore. It just looks like the world. Physical sin when it gets bad, there has to be separation. Spiritual sin, when it gets bad, even in the Lord's body, there has to be separation. And it is not a joyful process, it's not a happy process. Just like physically, going through certain procedures to try to separate you from the disease is painful, it's painful for the Lord's body to withdraw. Because we would rather keep our hand. We would rather keep our hand, but we're doing it to save the body as a whole. And our hope and our desire is that person will return. But we see this in the New Testament, and I believe it's done here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And actually, when you pick up in 2 Corinthians, I believe that this situation was dealt with, and it's talking about this idea of forgiving and welcoming somebody back. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he has received from us." In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." You know, there is physical sin that we avoid. Right? We're going to be separated because of this sin that's going on, or this physical disease that's going on. This physical disease, we're going to separate. We're going to quarantine. The same thing can happen in the Lord's body if there's a certain sin that's happening, and there needs to be separation to save the body. It's out of love. And actually, when we look at the process that we see in the New Testament, the separation is the final act. What do you think about that? If somebody had gangrene that's spreading throughout their body, you think they really want to amputate? You think they're going to try absolutely everything before they do an amputation? I think they will. In terms of spiritually, we're going to pray for that individual. We're going to talk to that individual. We're going to try to teach that individual. And when that individual says, "No, I'm not going to change my life. I'm going to continue doing this thing that you tried to teach me about, that you tried to talk to me about, that you've been praying for me about, and I'm not going to change my life," then the Lord's body does have to come in, step in, and there does have to be a separation. You know how we can prevent sin? We can know about it, but we can also separate. And that's not something that's easy. It's not easy in a physical sense. It's not easy in a spiritual sense. But really, it's the last course of action that, as Christians, we can do to try to maintain the body's purity and try to keep the Lord's body from not being involved in sin. The hope is that that individual realized that they cannot be associated with the Lord's body because they're a danger to the Lord's body, and they're really hurting the Lord's body's reputation. Just imagine if we had somebody here at Sandyville that fell into the same situation as 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we have somebody that's sleeping with, and you see what's described there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. We have somebody involved in that, and we just don't deal with it. And I think that is actually what's going on at the Church of Corinth at that time. I think they're trying to say, "Oh, it'll pass. It'll pass. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Just let this person keep doing what they're doing. Let's not intervene." And you know what would probably happen? It's slowly but surely, there'd be more sexual sin in the body. There would be more sin going on in the body because they said, "Hey, this is apparently okay." And it would just spread. Just like diseases spread, spiritual sin will spread. Spiritual sin can be contagious. Did you ever think about that? Separation is not easy. So wouldn't it be great if we could prevent that? And we can prevent it with knowledge. We can certainly prevent it in that way. But certainly, prevention in this case, separation, could actually save the body as a whole. Are you convicted as an individual of the Lord's body to stay spotless and clean? Because we need you to stay spotless and clean because you're a representation of Sandyville. Have you thought about that? You represent Sandyville. Are you trying to avoid sin? In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Are you trying to resist, or are you not putting up a fight at all? I fear that in our society, many individuals have given up the fight to prevent sin. They say, "It's okay. It's not a big deal. He's doing it. They're doing it. Everybody's doing it." That's not what the Lord's body is supposed to be. We're supposed to be spotless and pure. And certainly we're not perfect individuals, but we're going to give it the best shot that we can to be spotless and pure for our Lord, to be that spotless bride that He desires. But certainly there's separation from the Lord's body, but there's some times in your life where you're going to be surrounded by some people that certainly you want to influence, but you might have to separate because they're involved in things that are just going to drag you down. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals or good habits." Have you ever thought that there's some people in your life you might have to take a step away from for a while? Yes, Jesus sat and ate with sinners. He did. But he did not sin with sinners. And Jesus did not encourage sin either. So there's a line there. Jesus did sit with sinners. He did eat with sinners. We're going to be interacting in the world, and we can interact with them and influence them for good. But if there's somebody that you're sinning with, or you're encouraging them to sin with your actions, you need to think long and hard about that. Because that's not what the Lord's body or Christians are supposed to be involved in. We're supposed to be pushing sin away, not welcoming it with open arms. If we want to prevent sin, we need to know sin. If we want to prevent sin, sometimes we need to separate. And sometimes that needs to happen in our lives. And it's okay for us to have a relationship with people that are not members of the Lord's body. But if we start to get to the point where we are sinning ourselves or encouraging sin, we need to take a second look. Another way to prevent sin is seeking help. Seeking help. With physical diseases, we seek help and support. And sometimes this can be preventative. If the doctor can say that based off of your health, your blood work, or this or that, you are close to crossing this line into this disease, or you could be very susceptible to this, and doctors can be preventative, and they can say, you know what, you can avoid this or this, and this would be very helpful. You know, we can actually prevent sin by seeking help. We can prevent sin by trying to seek support, advice. You know, people do that. You know, that's why we have checkups, many of us. We go to the checkups and the doctor says, you know what, looking at some of the things, some of these predictors, it looks like down the road you could be very susceptible to this or this. This is what I would recommend as being preventative. You know, it looks like you might struggle with this down the road. Here's some things that you could do that can help to prevent that. So we seek help and support to prevent sin. Sin is a hard thing to deal with. But you know what? We have a family that's trying to avoid sin. And I don't know if you thought of it that way, but since we were bought, we were purchased, we were redeemed with the blood of Christ, we were added to the church, we're really a family. We're a family trying to do what? We're a family trying to avoid sin. We're a family trying to avoid sin. Are you trying to avoid sin? These things I write to you that you may not sin. Preventative. You understand that you have a family that's trying to stay away from sin? You have a family that's doing their best. A family that's struggling with different things and doing the best they can to be that perfect bride of Christ. To be pure. To be a good example. And before, as we lead up to chapter 2 of 1 John, I think there is a focus on our family and our fellowship that we have. You understand how important it is to have a family that's trying to avoid sin? That is a blessing. A family that's trying to avoid sin. Or, in other words, a family that's trying to do right. A family that's trying to do right. What a blessing that is. You know, Jesus put a special emphasis on our spiritual family. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus' mother and his brothers were seeking him. And in Mark chapter 3, verses 34 and 35, he answers, his family searching for him, his physical family searching for him, and Jesus answers, he says, he looked around in the circle at those that sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brother, those that do my will. Mark chapter 3, verses 34 and 35 there. Here, Jesus has his physical family looking for him, and Jesus, I think, puts a special emphasis on the spiritual family. He says, here are my mother and my brother. The spiritual family is special. We are those that have been added to the Lord's church, doing the best we can to serve the Lord. We are trying to avoid sin and do those things that are good and right, and our fellowship with one another is so important. It is so encouraging to me to see other individuals that have been added to the Lord's body that are trying to live their lives just as I am, trying to live my life unspotted from the world. It is encouraging. And I think it's impossible to do it without. Without our spiritual family, we are alone, we are isolated, and I think we are truly vulnerable. When we don't have the help, assistance, and support to prevent these things. But God has offered such a tool as our spiritual family. Opportunities for us to work together. Opportunities for us to worship together. Opportunities for us to look out for one another, help and support. And one of the most beautiful things about the Lord's body is that because we're made up of so many members, there's typically always a member that can help you with whatever you're going through. I'm not saying it has to be me. But we all go through different things. We all struggle with different things, and I'm not saying I'm the answer to all those. But I bet within the Lord's body, there's somebody that has been through or struggled with what you're struggling with. Have you tried to seek help and support? The Lord's body is so important because I believe it can help prevent sin. I encourage you to support, love, and help within the Lord's body. I believe that's what we're supposed to do. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The devil is trying to affect us with sin, and I think that we can encourage one another, and we can keep people away from sin. We can mentor, and we can help one another. I think it's Titus chapter 2, where the older are teaching the younger, and we have that connection of brotherly and sisterly love, the love of a family, valuing one another, and looking out for one another. My little children, I write these things to you that you may not sin. We have a family. We have a family. And we're trying to avoid sin and do those things that are right. And that's a powerful tool. That's a powerful tool. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, I want to read some of the next few verses there. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." My children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And then it gives this idea that, you know, as this is written to Christians, is the idea that we can slip up and we can fall short. But one of the calls of being a Christian is living the best life we can. And it talks about that right after, is that we should be doing the commandments of our Lord. And it concludes there in verse 6, it says, He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Question, how did Jesus walk? He walked perfectly. Also, where did Jesus walk? Going back to chapter 1 and verse 7. Chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sins." If we are to be Christians, we're going to have to walk as Jesus walked. And Jesus' blood is going to pick up on our shortcomings. But are you trying to walk as Jesus walked? He walked in the light. He follows the commands of God. He was perfectly sinless. But there, it gives us this idea. It says if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's the special relationship that I'm talking about, is we are trying to follow Christ and walk in the light. And if we have family that are trying to walk as Jesus walked, it's encouraging to walk hand in hand, side by side, trying to do those things that are good in life. The assembly of the saints is so very important. It's to encourage one another to look out and see that there are others trying to live the same life that we are. The battle against sin is not easy, but we can certainly fight it together. We can prevent it together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." The more distant we are away from help and support, the more vulnerable we are. The more distant we are away from help and support, the more vulnerable we are. As people drift away from the Lord's body, as they drift away from the church, every step they take, they're in more and more danger. Because they're drifting away from help and assistance, and that's what they need so desperately. If we want to prevent sin, we need to have a knowledge of it. If we want to prevent sin, sometimes we have to separate from it. If we want to prevent sin, we need to help and support one another and be the support system that God would want us to have. We can give each other advice. We can pull each other up. We can help each other. We can do those things which we know are good and right for each other and try to help each other as we go through this life that many times can be discouraging. Many times as Christians we talk about the cure, and the cure is a beautiful and wonderful thing, but sometimes I think that we have forgotten what God has given us to prevent sin. Are we trying to prevent sin the way we should? We try to prevent physical diseases. Do we try to prevent sin? We can prevent sin by knowing God's Word better. We get to know God's Word better this week. We can prevent sin by separating from certain things. Sometimes that's within the Lord's body. Sometimes it's personal decisions that we need to make in our own lives, is that these individuals are individuals that I'm either sinning with or I'm encouraging their sin by being around. Sometimes we have to separate. And sometimes we need to look for help and assistance. In many ways, we look to God's Word. In many ways, we look to those that are trying to walk as Jesus walked in the Lord's body. Certainly there's a cure. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Those sins will be washed away. So then the battle begins to prevent sin as we move forward. To walk in the light as Jesus walked, and to keep ourselves spotless as we should. It's not an easy road, but certainly it's a road that we need to walk. Because preventing sin, keeping sin out of our lives, is what Jesus wants us to do so desperately. Because it leads people to Christ. When people see that we are keeping sin out of our lives, they ask questions. When people see us keeping sin out of our lives, they usually want to know more. Why are you doing these things? Because I'm trying to keep sin out of my life. What Jesus paid such a high price to remove in the first place. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to please tell us who's saying as we think.